Thank you, Mrs. Peters. Certainly a privilege to be here this morning with all you people and the spirit of the meeting is so good, you know. The psychologists tell us that if your wife's not too good a cook, you praise her cooking until she is so wild about your compliments, she becomes a gourmet chef in the home. You know, that's the way it is with preaching too. Brother Branham said saying amen to him was like saying stick him to a dog. And you have a good spirit in the meeting and the people love the word. It's very wonderful. It's easy to preach, except it's also very hard because the preacher doesn't know how to control himself and he gets a little bit too wild and ruins his voice, like I do. But you surely appreciate the attitude of the people and the expression of joy over the Word of God. It's always a privilege to be in the house of the Lord and to bring forth the Word. Now, the two messages I brought you on the adoption, I realize that what was said may leave some question marks, and I got no doubt that it does because as I preach it, I have question marks myself. And putting the adoption in the time slot, which we do, is going to cause controversy because there are preachers today in this message who put it in the resurrection. And they do not believe that the adoption will take place or the manifestation will take place or perhaps even the third pull. They may separate them. I don't. It will take place in the 40 days or so within the resurrection. Now, I do not see where Brother Branham taught that. It's what you're seeing is the church coming back to restoration. Well, Brother Branham couldn't preach the church coming to restoration if it's for the dead. See, because we've already got the precedent set by the Lutherans. Why didn't they drop dead or something? See what I mean? Why didn't Christ come then? It's, we put it in this time slot. Now, I was very worried about teaching this subject because I realized there are some imponderables yet. And so as I worried about it, and three nights in a row I had a dream of Brother Branham. And the third night we sat together and we talked about the adoption. I said, Brother Branham, now don't take this as any evidence for you. This is what I got to go by. See, you got to go by your own. I said, well, Brother Branham, am I teaching the adoption right? And he sort of turned his head from me and he said, yes, you're teaching it right. Now from that I know that what I'm saying is right, but there's something more to it. And I haven't preached it, and what it is, I don't know. Maybe there's a little something in the time slot we don't understand. But what he said is coming, and you can depend upon it. If it even were in the millennium, you can depend upon it. It's coming. But it wouldn't be necessary in the millennium. You say, why? Because this is latter rain teaching. And anything latter rain taught was the closest to the real thing. But the closer you get, the furthest you are away from it. See, because then you get blinded by your own glare. So we know where we stand, that this is what he taught, and we'll wait to see the unfolding until we get a real perfect revelation. In other words, we'll see it fulfilled, but in the meantime, we must look forward to this by faith. See, many people don't look forward to it. They don't realize it's coming. But we know it's coming. And by faith, we're looking to be a part of it. See, somebody is going to be in that number. As Brother Branham himself said, if this church isn't it, there's a church somewhere. So we know that God's going to bring into fulfillment a complete restoration. The very life and works of Christ are going to be seen on this earth. Not just in the prophet, but they're going to be seen in the bride. I don't believe the bride's ministry is going to be like his ministry. It's going to be different, but it's going to come from his ministry. See, the word that was planted. It'll bring forth after its kind. Now, you see, after its kind, why? Because within the word are many seeds from the same seed. See, all men having the same ministry, but it's the same spirit motivating each one. The single life in my body motivates every member of my body. And then some of the members I'm not conscious of. I'm not conscious this moment what my heart is doing for me. But I'd be very conscious for a split second if it stopped doing it for me. See? So there's there'll be many things going on in the church in perfection, which the people won't be conscious of, but there will be with it this great and wonderful assurance of everybody doing the right will of God. It will certainly be a marvelous thing to come back to the full restoration and to see the Spirit of God working in us to bring forth the manifestation of the sons of God and manifesting the third pole. Now, I want to bring a message this morning on the evidence of the baptism with the Holy Ghost, and I appreciate your prayers. They will be able to speak without too much of a problem. Now, shall we bow our heads once more in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we come to you now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we know that we're very, very dependent upon you. It's at times like this where we realize our very breath is in your hands, and in him we live and move and have our very being. And that's true, Lord, because without you now we find we haven't even the ability to speak. We can think, yes, even if every part of our body was immobilized, we still have a mind to think. But then we would need the mouth and the vocal organs in order to project what is in the mind. And we know that's spoken word. And if it's a spoken word, then it's got to be said out loud. And so, Lord, we're hoping this morning, by your grace, to have the ability to speak forth the word that you've given us according to the revelation of the prophet, which was vindicated. Not teaching any revelation or explaining anything he said, but teaching what he said. And we stand on it this morning, O God. We're asking now, Lord, to make the words of our mouth the very thoughts of your heart. And then let it be understood the way it is given, trusting that all shall be in the Holy Spirit. We'll be careful to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Just reading then from the book of Acts, the second chapter, those first four verses, from which we're all familiar. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound in heaven, as a rushing mighty wind that filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, in my opinion, and I say it's my opinion, perhaps not somebody else's, there are three major schools of thought as to what is the evidence of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Now, by far the largest group believes that the evidence is to be Christ-like in the sense of fruit-bearing. Now, the scripture they use is found in Galatians, the fifth chapter, verses 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And this is coupled, of course, with 1 Corinthians 13, wherein they show that the fruit of the Spirit and not gift is a true evidence of the Holy Ghost. Now, if you want to look at that, that's 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. And Paul said, "Do I speak with the tongue of men and angels? And have not love, I am become sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and have all faith, that I can remove mountains. And have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to give to the poor." Now notice that's in Romans 12. These others are in 1 Corinthians 12, and they're called gifts, right? And in Romans 12, it's also a gift to give. Now this person can give everything he has, and if he doesn't have love, he still hasn't got it. So they coupled Galatians 5, 22 and 23 with 1 Corinthians 13 about the first three or four verses, and they say this adequately proves that if you're baptized with the Holy Ghost, if you're a true child of God, then you'll have the fruit of the Spirit, and that is the evidence. Now there's a second group. And these believers also believe in fruit-bearing, but they say the true evidence is a supernatural manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And they say this manifestation cannot come apart from the Holy Spirit. So therefore, if you have the manifestation, which cannot come apart from the Holy Spirit, then you have the Holy Spirit. So therefore, a supernatural manifestation is the only evidence of the baptism with the Holy Ghost. And of course, they quote Acts, the second chapter, 1 to 4, and very especially Acts, the 10th chapter, 44 to 46. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. How did they know they had the Holy Ghost? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Now they say, there you are. This is the evidence. The Bible says so. You must have a genuine, authentic, supernatural manifestation, as on Pentecost and Acts 10, and this certifies that you have received the Holy Ghost. See? You understand the reasoning? They say the manifestation can only come by the Holy Ghost. Is that right? So therefore, if I've got the manifestation, I've got the Holy Ghost. See? It's just like if only whippoorwill goes whippoorwill, and no other bird goes whippoorwill, and if you hear whippoorwill, that's whippoorwill. Remember, it's ABC. Now, that's logic. That's thinking. I didn't say it was the right kind of logic, the right kind of thinking. I said that's logic and that's thinking. Now, thirdly, there is that third group, and they also are very large in number, and they are very strong on fruit-bearing, but they place the true evidence of the Holy Spirit is to witness to Christ and to bring others to Him in soul-winning. And they use a scripture found over here in the book of Acts, the first chapter. And you look at them at verses 6-8. When they therefore were come together, they asked of Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father put in His own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto Me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and on the uttermost part of the earth. Now they say this is exactly what Jesus said would happen to you when you would be born again, receive the Holy Ghost, that you would be a witness to Him. You could not keep your mouth shut. You would have to testify to Christ as Savior, and then you would win souls to Him. And they say, this is the evidence. Now, no one can say that these three groups do not use Scripture to back up their faith and their belief. So nobody can deny they use Scripture. The Scripture they use is certainly the Word of God. And these Scriptures are absolutely about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now, make no mistake about it. They use genuine Scripture related to the case. These verses are all genuinely about the lives of those who are filled with the Holy Ghost, because the Bible teaches us this to be true. Yet not one of these groups has the true revelation for its doctrine. There is a mishandling of the word here or a misinterpretation. Now, of course, I'm not throwing off on any one of them, because that wouldn't be right. But we must seek to make abundantly clear that somehow they have missed the truth, because the word does not state that any of these is actually the evidence per se. All say a lot of correct things about the indwelt life, which I read to you, but not one pinpoints the evidence of what is the true evidence of the baptism with the Holy Ghost. It does not lay down the starting point from where we want to go. In other words, they do not tell us what the actual evidence is. You see, they say some true things about the subject. See? Like I could say many true things about a car. But when I say what makes the car go, you have to say the battery. No battery, no go. See, that's actually what a car... There's got to be something that's the force. You've got to be able to put your finger on it. See, not just say a lot of things, and a lot of things be true. You must be able to pinpoint it. Now, what is the evidence per se by itself? Exactly what does the Word of God say? Well, we search the Scripture. We go first of all to John 14 and beginning at verse 16. Now, Jesus says here, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So He says here, I'm going to send My Spirit back upon you. That's what the Holy Ghost is, the Spirit of truth. That's the Spirit of Jesus, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth Him not. That's a supernatural revelation. You can meet Him face to face and not know who He is, just like Israel crucified Jesus. Neither knoweth Him, but you know Him, for He is now presently dwelling with you, and in future He shall be in you. Now, who was dwelling with the Israelites at that time? Jesus. So His Spirit was going to come in them. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now, where did He get three gods out of that? See? You can't. just building on a Trinity that's as false can be. It's as idolatrous as they come. Now, I know that sounds very harsh, but I'm sorry. We don't argue with God. We agree with Him. You know, the Bible says, kiss the Son, lest He be angry. You say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You say so, yes, Lord. You say, well, that's kind of like a sycophant. Call me what you want. Yes, Lord. If He throws you into hell, yes, Lord. Yes, sir. See, this Laodicean spirit's on people, and they want to argue with God and get Him to change His mind and go their way. I'm glad God doesn't go my way, because I don't know which way I'm going by myself. I'm glad there's a tie post. Now He says, here in that day you shall know that I am the Father, and ye and me, and I and you. Now watch. Verse 23. Jesus answered and said, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father love him, and we will come unto him, and we'll make our abode with him. Now verse 26. Now He's going to tell you now what the Comforter is going to do, the Spirit of Truth. Jesus Christ come back in the Spirit. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, come back in spirit, whom the Father will send in Jesus' name. See why? Because He's mediator and intercessor. He, that same Spirit, shall teach you all things. Now watch the emphasis, things. And bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. See? Now He's got to do it. Now, if He's got to do it, I don't care how much you memorize His Bible, you can't do it by yourself. So cut your throat right there on it. You'll never figure this out outside of a revelation. Because He's got to bring it to your mind. Now, if He's got to bring it to your mind, it's not memorizing. It's something He's got to reveal. He's got to straighten out in your mind. Is that right? Well, come on, anybody knows that, because I got a fellow out here in Denver, Colorado. Maybe I pointed the wrong way, but he's still out there. He can quote the whole Bible. You say, give me Genesis 6 and 8, he'll quote it. You quote Genesis 5 and 4, he'll tell you where it came from. And he sees a little brown men coming out of a hole at the North Pole. Think it over. Well, brother, he's got the Holy Ghost because he sure quotes that Bible. What about that fellow years ago that they claimed saw a pillar of fire or something, and he could write 100 verses or 40 verses or say, now, Mr. Jones, you sit there, Mr. Smith, you sit there, and Billy, you sit there, and George, you sit there, and Jack, you sit there, and John, sit there, and Lee, you sit here, and Ned, you sit here, and Al, sit there, and then he gives 15 verses to each one, and he knows exactly each verse. Well, that's the Holy Ghost. Then how come he couldn't put it together? Never heard such nonsense preaching in my life. Are the wheels turning? Are you getting it? What is he saying? He said, when the Holy Ghost come, he'll teach you all things. Things. Listen to those things. See? Whatever I say, things. He'll bring them to your remembrance. See? Spiritual. Now notice, 16th chapter and 13th verse. How be it when he, the Spirit of truth, has come. Let's read that first, 12th verse first. I've got a little bracket here, so I'll just read it wrong. I have yet many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. What an insult. Don't tell me I can't get the Word of God. Jesus said, listen, you fellas, I've got something to tell you. He said, I'd tell you something, but you haven't got what it takes. You know, I always remember that little old joke about Sojourner Truth. You know, the famous slave that got up to New York, and there she stomped the ground to liberate the slaves in the South. And one day a college student there, a young smarty, was beginning to heckle her. And Sojourner Truth looked down and said, son, I'd have told you something, but I see you ain't got nothing to receive it. Jesus said, I'd tell you, but you haven't got what it takes to get it. Hello, that you know... And yet people think Jesus was so suave-like. And he wouldn't offend anybody. Of course, if you're a real son of God, you won't be offended. You'll say, hallelujah. I knew something was wrong. Is this it? He said, I would have told you, but he said, you haven't got what it takes. But he said, don't worry. All in one sweet breath before they get, like this, you know, wondering about themselves. He said, when the Holy Ghost comes, you'll have what it takes. See, but not before. And when He comes, He will guide you into all truth. See? Who is truth? Christ. He'll guide you right into and thoroughly explore and reveal and know Jesus. For He will not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He shall show you things to come. He's going to take that word and put it in its place. And believe me, He's not going to show somebody 4,000 years back here what's going to be for my day, because that doesn't do them any good. He didn't take in Paul's day and show them for our day. He didn't take in Irenaeus' day and show them for our day. He took in Paul's day and showed them for Paul's day. And Irenaeus' day for Irenaeus' day, now He's showing for my day. And He's showing me things to come. And if I'm blindly sitting here today and I don't know the word of the hour, then the Holy Ghost can't be in me. You say, Brother David, you make rough, bald statements. That's what I'm here for. And that's why you're here. You wouldn't come. You want to go home now? Well, let's stick around. See? You're here for this reason. That you can know the things of God. See? The house of God is the place of correction, not just fellowship. You can have fellowship at a beer parlor, a ballroom, or someplace else. See, it's just not fellowship. This is the place of correction. We got to know what we're talking about. See? I said this morning that these three groups are wrong. You can see already why I said they were wrong, because they are wrong. Now, they say a lot of true things, but they don't say the truth that we're dealing with this morning. See? Because they claim the Spirit was given for those other three things, and I'm showing you what the Word of God says the Spirit of God was given for. See? All right. Let's just bear this up by the doctrine. I like doctrine, and Paul set the doctrine. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verses 9 to 14. All right. But it's written, I hath not seen nor heard, neither into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them to love Him. But God hath revealed those things unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. See? For no man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man that's in him. Even so the things of God knoweth no man, the Spirit of God. Now listen, that's what these things are. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we may know the things which are freely given to us of God. Now how do we know them? Which things also we speak. Not in words which man's wisdom teaches, which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. Now He tells you right here, that it's a revelation of the Word of God that the Holy Spirit is brought here to give you in order that you may know exactly what lies in Christ. And it comes by a revelation of the Word. See? That's why Brother Branham said if you've got a revelation of healing, you'd be healed. If you've got a revelation of God's keeping power, you'd be kept. If you've got a revelation of God's giving power, you'd be given to. See? It's by the Word, which things we speak. And it's the speaking, or the words that are spoken, need the revelation by the Holy Spirit. And so that when they are revealed, you possess them. See? It's the Word of God. Now, verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. You think he can take a revelation of this Word? Why, he's heard there's a Father, a Son, and a Holy Ghost. And because the Bible seems to indicate there's a Father and a Son and a Holy Ghost, he'll swear, he'll get his own little theory up. What he said, God is like an egg. What do you mean? What he said, there's a yellow and a white in the shell. I said, hold it, there's also a skin inside. So he ruined his theory. And next time you find it, God is like a scrambled egg. Well, I said, I don't want any shell in mine. Okay. It won't work. There's one God of three manifestations. There only ever was one God. Do you think that Jesus came by and He said, well, you Israelites, I've got news for you. You've been fooled all these years that there was just one of us. There's three of us. He said, he that's seen me has seen the Father. See? Now, we have this revelation here, and the natural man cannot receive it. You cannot understand this Bible by natural study. Won't work out that, Brother Branham said. Education won't do it. PhDs won't do it. DDs won't do it. LLDs won't do it. Confer any degree you want, it won't do it. Bible school won't do it. It takes the Holy Ghost. See? That's why God sent a prophet at the end time. It takes the Spirit of God. And you know something? The more that you reveal the Word, the foolisher it gets. That's right. The more foolish it gets. The more far out it gets. That's why in every age, we've been oddballs, or holy rollers, or the nuts. You positively cannot take a truly born-again believer who believes the revealed Word of God and put him with the world. It just doesn't work. He stands out like a sore thumb 4 feet wide and about 6 feet high. See? Quiet. It's foolishness. See? Foolishness. Utter foolishness. The way the Word of God is revealed in the season. So therefore, if you've got some sweet common sense dogma worked out, let me tell you right now, you're wrong. If you're one of the boys and you're thinking, and one of the girls, you're wrong. You got to stand out there so far and so wide that you'll split your family right down the middle. Your father and mother will call you a fool, and they'll kick you out and cut your throat if they can. And if you haven't got that, you ain't got it. Now, either I'm preaching the truth or I'm lying to you. Now, if I'm lying to you, then Paul's a liar. If Paul's a liar, then God's a liar, because God vindicated him. Now, you know as well as I do, you never heard such teaching as Brother Branham wants. And to you and me, he said, oh, that's the most beautiful sense ever heard. Why, the whole Bible makes sense now. Isn't that wonderful? And they say, oh, boy, where'd these guys come from? They can't figure it out. On what ground? On the way we worship. We're heretics. See? You follow what I'm talking about now? Now listen. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. Little old epistle of John. That's a sweet brother, John. I'd sure like to have been around him, but it actually wouldn't have done me any good. But just nice to know him. See? Not even nice to be around Jesus. You better have minions. You better be in him. All right, listen, 20th verse. But you have an unction, anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. What all things? Oh boy, if I get the Holy Ghost, I'll be an A1 mechanic. Nope. Maybe I'll be a great astronomer and discover something. Nope. You know the things of God for your day. See? Now, verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not any man teach you. How can a man teach you? You can't even teach yourself. Can't figure a thing out. Nobody can figure a thing out. No man can do it. Paul himself said, no man taught me this. I didn't figure this thing out from Gamaliel. In fact, I went Gamaliel's way until one day I met Jesus, and then went his way. And oh boy, look at the split it caused. And Gamaliel said, oh Paul, why did you throw away your future? He said, don't worry, Gamaliel, it's just a bunch of dung. Oh brother, what did you say to me? I'm a PhD, LLDDD. My Lord. He said, Paul, you're a little bit insulting. Well, he didn't mean to hurt the fellow's feeling, but look at you call a spade in our language. It's just refuse, dung, put in the dung. You say, that where all my creeds and dogmas go? Where else does manure go but on the manure pile? You want to put in a sacred vessel? Vessels created under God's glory should contain the manure of this world? Why is this world a manure heap right now except for man's vain reasonings? What turned man away from God? Vain reasonings. What made your homosexuals, your perverts? Man's reasonings. What do you want man's reasoning? Dump them. Get a hold of yourself. See? Mean old veil. But the same anointing teaches you all things and is truth and is no light. And then some people think a fivefold ministry could fool you. How many of you people in that happy-go-lucky doldrum, that a limbo place today, that say you believe this message, and then you say, well, a fivefold ministry could lead me astray, when the Bible said a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit? You'll get up and even preach it over a pulpit, like they did a few months ago. I got news for you. I teach the Word of God correctly because I teach what the prophet said. And I back it up by Scripture. I was called to God to teach and preach. The prophet even said so. You think I'm going to teach you some nonsense? And damn my soul and corrupt you and be responsible? I'd go blow my brains out first, quit preaching. I'm not trying to defend myself. I'm preaching what the Word says. Where'd they get that nonsense? The Holy Spirit teach some kind of a lie. Huh? My God, may people who say they believe a vindicated prophet change their way of thinking. And those folks that don't belong in the pulpit, get out of the pulpit.
Amen.
Yeah. No lie. Said no lie. No lie. Somebody say, well, no truth. No truth. I stick to the Bible, says no lie. All truth. I like that. Even it's already taught you, what you already got now is the truth, and what you're going to get is more truth. And that's how you're going to abide in Him. If people say, I'm abiding in Jesus Christ and turn down the Word for the hour. Now look here, there's only one way you can abide in Christ. You first of all got to get the Holy Ghost in you. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost in you puts you in the body of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it identifies you as a member. Now let's say I got a lot of members out here, and I'm a real old doctor. What do you call him? Not there's a Dr. Frankenstein, or he make a Frankenstein. I forget what it is. I'm the doctor, you know, and I'm going to create my own little Frankenstein, so to speak. And I say, well, I made a foot over here, and I made a hand over here, and I made an arm over here, and I say, hold it, hold it, hold it. This is human, and this is human, and this is human. But this is a dog. I say, well, put the dog over here. Look for some more human. How are you going to get in the body of Jesus Christ unless you've got the Holy Ghost? He don't say, oh, this one got the Holy Ghost, I put him in. And that one got the Holy Ghost, I put him in. You see, Christ is the Holy Ghost. I put him in. And this over here, he ain't got the Holy Ghost, I'll put him in. Hold it, he don't get in. Now, if you have the Holy Ghost, he's going to lead you into all truth. He's going to show you things to come. Now, it's all here in the Word he's going to show you, but evidently, if he's going to show you, he's not going to show you what you don't need. Let me show you an example. Brother Branham tried to preach the trumpets, right? He couldn't do it. The Lord said, look, son, there's no issue trying to preach that, because it doesn't belong to you. You're going to be gone. You think for 1 minute Luther needed to know what we know? You think Wesley had to know what we know? They didn't have to know it. They weren't supposed to know it. See? The ministry is revelatory. Now, you can see right here, from what we have in Scripture, that the evidence of the baptism with the Holy Ghost could never be physical, supernatural evidence like tongues or other gifts. Couldn't be. Could not be a physical, supernatural evidence. You follow me? Teaching by the Spirit, though that in itself is a supernatural ministry of the Spirit, has no outward physical evidence. I can sit here like you people can, and I marvel at you because I watch expressions on your faces. And some of you can sit there as stony as a cigar store Indian, and you're getting every word I'm saying. You don't bat an eye. And somebody else can hoop and holler, though you're not doing it, not get one word. You're missing it. There is no physical evidence of a man being instructed. He can sit there grinning. He can close his eyes. He can look sleepy, droopy, and be as sharp as a tack. You can look at that fella and you'll never know it. Because they looked to Jesus Christ, who is the Holy Ghost in flesh, and they didn't know it. There is no physical outward evidence. It's all inside. But the inside is a supernatural ministry. See? And remember, it's not knowledge that you gather by yourself. It's revealed knowledge. Now let me prove what I said by the scripture. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. Reading verse 14 and 15, I think it is. No, I'm sorry, 15 and 16. But he that is spiritual judges all things. He's judging that word as it goes forth by the preacher. Yet he himself is judged of no man. There's no man can come along to you and say, I know the way you're acting, you've got the Holy Ghost. Bless God, I know the way you got the gifts in your life. There's, I know you got the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you, the way you witnessed to Jesus Christ and testify to God and win those souls, I know you got the Holy Ghost. I knew a fellow in Florida, a world famous man. I won't mention his name. I'd hate to hurt anybody. He claimed that he was some kind of a great chief. He claimed he'd been to Juilliard. He claimed he sung to presidents. He preached in many churches. He buttonholed every man he ever saw. Did they know Jesus Christ? One of the biggest liars ever walked on 2 feet. He was no chief. He'd never been to Juilliard. He was a hoax. You getting it? A lot of people don't understand. Brother Branham said there was no physical evidence. Are you getting it this morning? He said, you preachers, nail it down. I'm here this morning with a 10-pound sledge and an 8-inch spike. If you'll stay hold still long enough, I might get you tagged down. Now, I'm not quoting Lee Dale, I'm quoting the prophet. I'm quoting the Bible. I'm not thinking my own thoughts. I'm merely putting in my own words what's already been said. There's no physical evidence. It says, he that is spiritual, that's got the Holy Ghost, you can sit there. You say, that's it. I remember one day Brother Ned was trying to tell me about how he got something all figured out. No aspersions on Ned, because he'll appreciate this too. He said, Lee, I've got it all figured out about Israel. And I said, tell me. He told me. I said, you're wrong. He said, how do you know? Prove it. I said, I can't, but I know you're wrong. See? Letting a little natural mind get in there. But he said, I'll tell you. I said, Ned, look, you took me through Scripture. I agree. You are so close. I know you're close, but you're missing something in the resurrection. I don't know what it is, but there's something missing. I don't know what it is. Well, should you try to find it? I said, I can't. I don't understand prophecy. And maybe you do, but I don't. One day, Brother Branham began opening it up. Something said, that's it. That's it. That's it. And Ned said, that's it. That's it. That's it. See, he knew there was something too. Why? Or he wouldn't have come and said, Brother Dale, check this out. I'll never forget the day Brother Branham mentioned that the evidence of the Holy Ghost was receiving the word today. And I said, that's it. I didn't know one scripture on it. 2 weeks later, going down the road, the Holy Spirit said, certainly that's it. The Bible's full of it. Why don't you read it? That's how he talks to you. He said, that's smart aleck. No, that's not smart aleck. He just talks the way you are. Brother Branham wasn't educated, but the Holy Ghost spoke to him in the vernacular of a Hoosier and a Kentuckian. See? Just like all the prophets speak different from each other, but it's the same thing. See? And now it says right here, when you've got the Holy Ghost, you'll know what's the truth or not. You get that witness. And it says, but nobody can judge you. How can they judge you? What are they going to judge on? The only time they can judge anybody else could judge is you and I going back and forth, as Brother Branham said, giving the word test. Let's find out about that in a little while. Just hold on. We've got some real good word tests here coming up. Now, with this, we go to 1 John, the 3rd chapter, and verse 1. Get that point just a second now. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not. You say, just a minute, if I wasn't the son of God, would the world know me? Oh, you better believe they'd know you. Hi, George. Hi, John. Oh, they know you. But as a son of God, they don't know you. You need to tell me you're a son of God. Well, you just self-righteous God. You mean I ain't got nothing? They don't know you. Well, if they don't know you, then where's the physical evidence? I got the Holy Ghost, best God. I'll make you know I got the Holy Ghost. And you start talking in tongues. They say, you nut. Call the paddy wagon. See? Well, you know that's the truth. Bible says they don't know you. So where's your physical evidence? Well, said one fellow, I wear a certain suit. Preacher said, well, he said, bless God, we need to have something to identify some people. I put my collar on backward. Well, that's what identifies you from the people. Forget it, because God said you won't be identified to people. They won't know you anyway. That is to say, have a revelation. They won't know you're a Christian. They may know something different about you, see, which they should. But they can't pin it. Because you can misunderstand this one. Say, I know he's a wonderful Christian, and this guy's not. You could be 100% wrong. The first fellow might not be a Christian at all, and the other guy might be. See? Okay, let's go to Matthew, the 13th chapter, and find out some more. Let's go to verse 10. All right? The disciples came and said, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he said, because it's given unto you to know the mysteries. What's the mysteries? Brother Brown's definition? The revealed word of God come down from heaven. Did you hear what it said? Now what's the mysteries? The revealed word of God come down from heaven. That night? Now you know what mysteries are. Now what did the 10 thunders bring forth in mysteries? Brought forth that, right? You still with me? Did I lose you? Amen to what? Did I lose you with me? You had a good point there, son. I think I lost some of them. I said, Brother Branham, quote, that the mysteries is the revealed word of God come down from heaven. Now what are you looking for? The revealed word of God, is that right? Now why does somebody look for something else? Huh? Who is to give them? 7 church age messenger. Are there 8? 7, right? Then don't look for anybody else. The only people you look for are those that agree with that word. That bear it witness by saying the same thing. They don't explain it, they teach it. I don't explain what Brother Branham said. I teach what he said. I've been accused otherwise, but that doesn't bother me because if they knew what I knew, they wouldn't be talking so ridiculous. See? Now, to them it is not given to know the revealed word of God come down from heaven. For whosoever hath him should be given. Hath what? The Holy Ghost. Otherwise, how can you know it? And he shall have more abundance. What about then when the day of the Holy Ghost is right back to us? We go back where Alpha's Omega. The church goes back to Pentecost refilled. The day of all the revelation. Brother, she's going to know it all. See? Whosoever hath not shall be taken, even what he has. His very life will be forfeited. That's right. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you die. You got to wait for the white throne judgment. Therefore speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, seeing you'll see and not perceive. This people's heart is waxed gross, their heart, the organ of understanding here. Ears are dull, eyes are closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. See? First of all, you got to repent. Be baptized in water, full of the Holy Ghost, you're turned around. See? What's he say here? He said they ought to be converted. They got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And God will heal them. Heal what? He's going to heal the wrong thinking. See? That's what restoration is. It's a healing. You know we're going through a healing process, brother, sister, today? I'm waiting for the final manifestation of that balm of Gilead. And when he does, I'll walk out of this building or some building, a brand new person, eternally, more than the sight of God. Now he said, blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears they hear. For verily I say that many prophets and righteous men desire to see the things that you see, and have not seen them, to hear those things you hear, and have not heard them. Now it says right here, brother, sister, that even the prophets and righteous men don't get a revelation unless God wants to give it to them. Is that what I read? Let's read it again. It says right here, verily I say many prophets, the man that said it, didn't get a revelation. Somebody's going to, though. When? In the right season. All right? Doesn't the Bible say it's close to the end time? Then if it's close to the end time, leave it close to the end time. And open to the end time, leave it open to the end time. See? All right. Now, let's go to John 6, a couple of verses there. Oh, John's full of this tremendous thought. But we just read a couple. Don't even need to read these, in fact. 45-47. It says, it's written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. All taught of God? No, siree. You go back to Isaiah. All thy children shall be taught of God. And who's going to be taught of God? The children. That's the earmark. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me. The Holy Spirit outside of you brings you to the Word. This is in the Greek and the Hebrew. I wish I'd have brought my word studies with me. But this is absolutely thus saith the Lord from the Hebrew and Greek. The Holy Spirit outside of you brings you to God, to the Word. The Holy Spirit inside of you reveals the Word. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God. How can you see the Father unless he is your Father? You got the Holy Ghost. He has seen the Father. He says, just a minute now. How have I seen him? Why was the Holy Ghost given to you? To reveal the Father. To reveal the Word. So therefore, God revealed as the Word revealed. So therefore, if the Word's revealed, we've seen God. Verily, verily, I say, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life, because I am the bread of life. Now, notice how this Spirit teaching, or this teaching by the Spirit, is brought by Spirit-filled men. Now remember, the Spirit of God is going to teach us, lead us into all truth. He's going to show us things to come. He's going to make visible God to us. See? He is going to give us the measure of the fullness of God for our day until at the end time the full being comes into view by revelation and in the bride. Now, I said the Spirit, the teaching of the Spirit is brought to us by Spirit-filled men. 1 John. Verse 1. Listen, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. Whether they are of God. You hear what it said? Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit. Now, if you're going to believe the spirit, he's got to talk to you. You say, well, Brother Dale, I believe the spirit is so-and-so. And I believe that spirit is so-and-so. I say, how do you know? Well, I just think so. You're thinking it's all wrong. I got to say, what did his spirit say? The spirit didn't say anything. Then how do you know if he's right or wrong? Got to try the spirits for what they say. Where they have gone. Because many false prophets are gone in the world. What's a false prophet? A man that brings the wrong word. He claims to be a god. Even might have signs and wonders. He's a wolf in sheep clothing. He is not a wolf in wolf clothing. Oh, how people go wrong there. They read the Bible their own way. And they say, the Lord says over there, in the book of Matthew, that there'll be a wolf in wolf clothing. The Lord doesn't say that. He said, beware of false prophets, for they are wolves in sheep clothing. In other words, they look like a sheep, but they talk like the wolf. See? Because they don't have sheep talk, they got wolf talk, which is perverted word, which destroys you. See? Now try the spirit. Those spirits are associated with men. And the men are teaching. Peter says, teachers. John says, prophet. I think Jesus says both. Now, he does, of course, through the prophet. Now, let's notice with this, the fifth verse. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. See? Now, not all the world hears them. We're talking about religion. Mixed up people. And it said, if your religion's of the world, you'll hear the false prophet. Yeah. I know you think you got a spiritual religion, maybe, but you could be wrong right here. In fact, you are wrong. The Bible says so. So let's nail her down. Nobody's trying to pat you on the back if you're in that class. It's time to be serious. He said, you're of the world. You don't care how much Bible you preach. You don't interpret that word right by spiritual revelation. You're of the world. So you have to be if you're not of Christ. Now, the world hears them. We are of God. Now listen. He that knoweth God hears me, said John. Starting to be presumptuous. I like the Bible like this. Very edifying. It certainly clears the issue. Gets the fog out of your eye. Flies out of your soup. He said, we're of God. John said, I'm of God. He said, you're of God? Yes, sir. He said, I'm of God. He said, I'll tell you something else. He said, if you know God, he said, you'll hear me. Now, he said, if you hear those guys, he said, you're not of God because they don't say what I say. See, false spirit teaching is associated with men. And so is the true spirit of God associated with men. See? Hereby know we the spirit of truth and error. Here's how we know it. People say to me, not too many because I don't talk to too many sinners and all, but once in a while I talk to some. And their attitude always is, well, you believe you're the only one. Nobody but you going to heaven. Well, could be. Just could be. Well, John, who do you think you are? You mean to tell me we got to hear you and Paul and Peter, and if we go off what they say, we're wrong? He said, sure enough. But he said, if you're a God, you're going to hear me. He said, you don't hear me? You say different? You're of the world. Now he said, you want to know who's got the truth and who's got error? Depends who you're listening to. So in that case, Brother Bale, I'll listen to myself. You're the worst of the works. You're the worst of the works. Because you've got your God so mixed up that he is so stupid that he put teachers in the body and yet you don't want to be taught. Well, Lord, I believe all your word. Hallelujah, Jesus. He said, what about those teachers? Yeah, what about them? I think they're kind of silly too, Lord. I'm laying it on and I intend to. I want to jog you so deep in your heart, you'll circumcise it. You'll cut off those fleshly chunks in your high-mindedness. Until you get down to realizing in the sight of God, you're nothing but a funky. See? Too many high minds in the pew. This is the day of anarchy. The day of Laodicea. Rebellion against the authority that God constituted. I'm not talking about Nicolaitanism. I'm talking about the Word.
people sitting home and not going to church. Well, we don't need any fivefold ministry. We don't need this and that. Perfect! Let's have a showdown in the tapes. Brother Bram said you had to have it. And don't tell me you believe the prophet. You only believe what you want to believe. You want to be up, but let's narrow down. John said, don't tell me you got the Holy Ghost and you turn your back on me. Said, wow, that's presumptuous.
I love it.
Nails it down. You say, Brother Bill, you talking about yourself and talking about William Branham. I wouldn't turn my back on him. You see, I don't either then believe what he said. Don't explain it. I've heard enough of that around the country. Just teach it. You say, Bill, you explain. I'm not explaining one thing. I'm teaching it. You show me where I'm saying off to what the prophet said. It's on tape here. I can take you to tape after and show you did say it. See? Because if I don't know what he said, I better not be talking. I said that this teaching by the Holy Ghost, this supernatural ministry, is brought to us by Spirit-filled men. Now be careful to see that the true Spirit is associated with men teaching just as false spirits are. You can't get away from it. A spirit must have a body to work through. That's right. They're not disembodied. Won't work. It's got to be caught by somebody. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians and see the voice of Paul on this issue. 36 and 37. Paul said to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 14, 36, what? Came the Word of God out from you? Did you produce it? Did God show it to you? Or did it only come to you? Did I bring it here? Now listen, if any man thinks he's spiritual, a baptized lay member, or a prophet, any of the fivefold ministry, let him acknowledge that the things that I say, not what they said, see, are the commandments of the Lord. John said, if you don't hear me, you don't know God. Paul said, if you don't hear me, you haven't got God. Peter said, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Let him say what God said or shut up. You say, Peter, shut up. Say, I'm saying what God said. You say, Paul, shut up. He said, I'm saying what God said. You say, John, I can't stand you. He said, because I'm saying what God said. That's why he can't stand you. Men teaching, men given the ability, these men were prophets. Now, let's go to the book of Revelation, the first chapter. Let's see how this voice still comes today. Let's see how the word still comes to us. Revelation 1:10. I was in the Spirit in the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice of the trumpet. It's a message. Every message is a trumpet. Verse 12. I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And now when I turned, I did not see the voice or the speaker. I saw the bride. John said, I saw seven church ages. And a golden lamp. Pure gold. Pure faith. Unadulterated. And all of the faith poured in that lamp is going to show at the end time. All the gold of Revelation is going to show at the end time. I saw a bride. A pure revealed word. And in the midst of that bride, I saw one like the Son of Man. The Greek says he says the same things as the Son of Man. In his hand were seven stars. And those stars are seven messengers. One for each age. And the voice of God is in the bride. It's in the church. That's right. The word of God is in the bride. The true church. She doesn't have one bit of error. She's solid gold. Let the mustard seed grow to a tree. Let the church fill the earth, it will, with every foul bird in it. There's a spotless virtuous bride, like the spotless virtuous lamb. She's solid word, and he is solid word. Now, this one is in the midst of the church. Now, what about those seven stars? Seven messengers. Verse 1, chapter 2. Unto the messenger of the church which is in Ephesus write, these things said he that holds the seven stars in the right hand, who walks amidst the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works. Now listen. I want to show you something here. Every church age is the same. Every church age has a messenger. And God reveals himself to the messenger. In the first age, I am the one who holds the seven stars and walk in the candlesticks. The second one, I am the first and last, which was dead and is alive. The third one, he that hath the two-edged sword. The fourth, the eyes like the flame of fire and the feet of brass. The fifth one has the seven stars. See, starts all over again. If this is Luther, he has to start. Do you know that Luther almost got the revelation of one God? Do you know that his right-handed buddy preached there was one God and had Luther so convinced he almost believed it and said, well, it doesn't really matter which way you believe. He said, I just don't see the necessity to worry about it. You can get baptized anyway and believe which we want. It's right in history books, brother and sister. Now listen, let me show you something. Each age ends with this. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said to the churches. Now look. Every age a messenger. Every messenger gets a revelation of Christ. Now watch. That's the message. What follows is the historical account of the age, so you know what age you live in. The historical account is not the message. The historical account is only to give you the place where you are. This is why Brother Branham said, Christ is the Word, and the Word is Christ. And when you reveal the Word, you reveal Christ. Christ revealed is the Word revealed, and the message is Christ. Now, notice it. Paul said, he hears me. They're God. John said, hear me, you're a God. Peter said, hear me, you're of God. Now then, if you hear each church age messenger, you are of God. The evidence of whether you are a hearer, which means you're full of the Holy Ghost, is what are you listening to? To whom are you listening? If you're listening to the messenger of the hour, then you must be of God. See? As Brother Branham said, here is where you start. With thus saith the Lord. Now, let's go to 1 John. Again, the second chapter. 18 and 19. Little children, it's the last time. As you heard, Antichrist will come, even now are many Antichrists. Those who take the place of Christ. Anti doesn't mean against, although it does come against. It means instead of. Remember, the Pope is instead of Christ, the vicar. Anti in the Greek means instead of, which is against. Also, there are many antichrists, whereby we know it's the last time. They went out from us. They were not of us. If they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might be manifest they were not all of us. In other words, they formed their own groups, different from what John said. They took their own interpretation. They didn't stay with the prophet. I want to ask you this question. How many people today that believe this message as pastors go for church order? We had a man come thousands of miles to ridicule us here in America. He said, you Americans are running in a circle. He said, we know the prophet. We know the God of the prophet. He said, we don't need the word. We don't care if there's one pole, two poles, or three poles. So a friend of mine said to him in Newfoundland, Canada, he said, brother, what would you do if a woman got up in your meeting and prophesied in a public meeting? Would you put her down? Oh, brother, I wouldn't put my hands on that. He doesn't believe the message. He'd put his church in order. How often I had men who believed this message soul cocking me say, and Brother Dale, you believe that Brother Branham put the whole church in order, just his church? I said, Brother, I'm going to tell you something. Outside of Brother Branham, I am the greatest single authority on that subject. I can prove it, I am. Because he wanted me to go to Chicago and open a church, and we put the church in order, the gifts as he wanted them. And he said, that's how the Bible teaches it. And that's the way it should be done. Paul weighed the weight of his entire apostolic authority on putting the church in order, women keeping quiet, and the gifts in submission in a separate building. Do you think I'm explaining it or teaching it? You can think what you want. I challenge you, show me what the prophet said different than what I'm saying this morning. It's word by word, line upon line, everything he said, you know it. Now listen. They would have stayed with us. What did he say? Stay with the word. You say John was saying, I'm going to build a nice group around me. I've got God. I've got living proof I'm a first fruit. He certainly had it. He certainly was. He was the first fruit, not the first fruit. He was a. He knew where he stood. Sure. Stick with me, boys. He never once said it, neither William Branham. Stay with the word. Stay with the word. Stay with the word. Brother Branham never said, come to my church and be part of me. He said, believe the vindicated message of the hour. Now, listen. With such clear teaching, as we see what the Holy Spirit was given for, and the evidence is the Holy Spirit serving the purpose which he was given? If he was given for a purpose, then that purpose is the evidence. Now, that's quoting Brother Branham. That's true. The purpose is the evidence. Given as a teacher. Now, let's look at fruit bearing. Why is not fruit bearing the true evidence? Well, the nine fruits of the Spirit seem to be covered by 1 Corinthians 13 by love. Yet, remember, if you're going to use the criterion of fruit, and fruit is covered by love, then love must have every one of the nine ingredients, even meekness, which is a face like a flint and a back like a saw log, and yet a heart of mush. And yet with that heart of mush, you can't be stepped on to deny or lay down a precept of Jesus Christ. Many people have what they think is love in the house. They indulge their kids and they ruin them. They indulge each other and they ruin them. I don't mean to be mean to kids, because you mustn't be. They cannot be corrected in anger. They must only be corrected by love, under proper atmosphere and all. But remember, love is not permissive. Now, if we want to know what love is like, we got to do what Nicodemus did. We got to come and see this man and said, say, sir, I've been watching you. And you've got something from God. Because nobody can do what you do except God be with him. Now, I don't understand it. I'm looking at a man, but I can see only what God does. I'm hearing a man, yet the words don't do what the words of a man do. It only does what the words of God do. Tell me, sir, you're a teacher. What is it you got? He said, Nicodemus, it's going to be a mystery till you're born again. I've no use me telling you anything because you haven't got the Holy Ghost. Now, so I'll just tell you this, Nicodemus. He said, you got to be born again. Nicodemus said, hey, how can I be born again? Can I be reduced myself again to the size, brought back through some genetic miracle to be in my mother's womb again? He said, no, not that at all. You got to be full of the Holy Ghost. But he said, sir, who are you? And I'm going to make my own Bible up this morning. Not going to read the word. So I'm going to make up my own little act. And Jesus said, sir, if you really want to know,
I am God manifest in human flesh. Because, you see, he said, no man has ascended to heaven except he that descended, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. He said, Nicodemus, you see me right here as God in a human body. Yet, believe it, I'm ruling the heavens and I'm ruling the earth right from now. Although all you can see is a human manifestation, except what those words bring out. Nicodemus said, now hold it. I know that Abraham saw Melchizedek. Man. I know that Abraham saw three men, and one was God. I know that Samson's parent saw an angel, a man, who said his name was Wonderful. Now, are you like one of them? He said, I'm one of them. In fact, I am that one. I was before Abraham. Now I'm here in flesh. What he said then, if you're God in flesh, sir, would it be too much to think that if I followed you around and watched you, I would see how God acts? Well, he said, be my guest. What else could there be if I'm God and act like God? Nicodemus said, that's fair enough. But he said, sir, something puzzled me. He said, what is it? Well, he said, the Bible tells us that I'm supposed to love the Lord my God with all my heart. He said, that's exactly right. Well, he said, now, not to offend you, Jehovah, manifest in flesh. But if I'm supposed to love you like that, what do you got for me? Well, he said, I love you just like that too. He said, you do. Well, he said, that's very nice. Then, if I watch you, I'll watch how love acts. He said, Nicodemus, you're closer than you thought you were. I could use men like you. So he watches this one. He traipses through the dusty streets of Galilee, on the shore of Galilee, little old Nazareth, city of Nain. And in Nain he sees the widow's son dead, carrying to his grave last rites. And Jesus walks over, touches the beard, and he said, hold it right here. He said, son, your mother needs you. Come out of that box. Son jumps out of the box. And Nicodemus gets a big grin. He said, that's love. He said, see, the widow needed help. The widow needed some care. Wasn't that wonderful? My, that's real love. Oh, I think God is wonderful. Now, so, I'm getting my, never mind my chronology now. One day he follows him to a little place where there's a wedding. And the poor governor of the feast, he boo-boos. They run out of wine. He underestimated the crowd. Oh, what a blotch on his escutcheon. Whatever that is, it sure sounds good anyway. His escutcheon is blotted. Oh, his face falls. He's destitute. I'm the governor of the feast. I didn't get enough wine. My. Nicodemus gets upset. He taps Mary, and he said, hey. He said, you think maybe we could do something about this situation? And Mary says, I think we can. She said, son. She said, you know the governor, and I know the governor. And you know how he's got to save face somehow. They've run out of wine. They'll never respect him again. He'll be a failure in the community. They won't make him head of the PTA again. Or the Kiwanis Club. He'll never get any votes for the mayor. He boo-booed. He said, well, what have I got to do with you? She said, look, son. Would it be too much to ask that you'd help the fellow and stop him looking like some kind of a little goat or something? What he said, I'll save his face. Thank God there's a face saver, brother, on the day of judgment. I'll save his face, he said. Look, he said, hey, tell what you do. Fill up those great big pots with water and start pouring. And as you pour, everything's going to be fine. They went ahead and did it, and beautiful wine came out. In fact, it was the best wine they ever had. And then he went to the governor anyway and said, hey, fella, what you doing to it? You saved the best to the last. Now, how come you boo-boo? He still saves the best to the last. It's coming. The revelation, the big one's coming. It's right here now. Here you see. And now, that's beautiful. And Nicodemus, oh, he's thrilling. Hallelujah, God is love. Isn't it beautiful, beautiful, beautiful? So he follows him one more time. He goes down to the pool. And here's an old boy down there with fish hooks on his elbow. He's trying to grade his way down the water, crashing or pushing other guys aside, you know. He's trying to get down when the water moves. And Jesus said, do you want to be healed? He said, nobody put me here in the water. He said, I didn't ask that. I said, do you want to get healed? Why, sure, would you take up your bed and walk? And Nicodemus stands back. He said, not just me. He said, you said you were love. Yes, I am. But there are people over there that need healing worse than this fella. You're leaving thousands sitting there. Now, if you had real love, like I think you should have, because you said you're love, you'd go to each one and you'd say, you want to get healed? 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 He said, I only do what I see my Father do. Now, where's your love? Your love has got to be one with that word, or you ain't got love. You just think you've got love. Now, this sort of shook Nicodemus. Then one day he goes to the temple, and there are those sweet old money changers. Now, listen, the Bible tells in Deuteronomy, if you live too far from the temple, you turn your goods into money, you take it with you, and then at the temple you buy what you need for the sacrifices. Right? Right. So that's what these little money changers were doing. They weren't a bunch of greedy thieves shortchanging the people. They were thieves and robbers trying to get in by a self-righteous, lovely work. Oh, they were sweet and lovely. And they said to the lady, what would you like? Sir, I can only afford a turtle dove. How much is it? It's 6 pence. 6 pence, but I've only got 5. God bless you. Let it be my donation. Take it. Let it be 5. What do you want? I want a bullet. Well, that'll cost you $50. Oh, my crop only brought 40. I'll be glad to help out. Take the bullet. Then Jesus comes in and he's mad. He looks around and he sees a bunch of twine. Old twine is lovely stuff. You ever cut your hand on twine? Little bits stick in your flesh, you know. Oh, it's one of the dirtiest cuts there is. So he gets about one of the dirtiest things he can get his hands on and he makes a rope. A long, snaky bowl rope. And he said, you made my father's house a den of merchandise. You thieves and robbers, take that. Snaps it around and pulls it. Skin tears off. And the guy's having a fit. I don't get it. He turns water to wine. He heals the cripples. The blind get healed. Now he's taking and beating these poor people up. Oh my God, what's going on here? I don't know if I can stand that kind of love. Love is corrective. Love stands with the word. Love does what Jesus would do. He said, should I clear shop? You're not Jesus. But you got an example. And whatever you do can only be love if you stay with that word. Nothing else is love outside of that word. See? Now let me show you that love cannot be the evidence of the Holy Ghost and why it cannot be the Holy Ghost furthermore. Let's go to Romans 12. Okay, the 9th verse. Let love be without hypocrisy. You say, Brother Bale, the word's dissimulation. I beg your pardon. Dissimulation is hypocrisy in the Greek. You mean to tell me that I can be a hypocrite with my love? You sure can. Especially if there's a buck involved, or a pretty girl or something. Or your popularity. Preachers say nice things. You got to be kidding. God doesn't say nice things to us preachers sometimes. How are we going to preach nice things?
What nice thing is a man supposed to say that's got a revelation that things aren't nice? What's a man supposed to say to the Laodicean church age? Oh, you're in the Philadelphian age. Love, love, love. You're outside of Jesus Christ. You're lost. You're blind. You're wretched. You're miserable. You're naked. You're doomed. Unless God sent Elijah. For you guys preach judgment. What else is there to preach on judgment day? You don't wash the clothes the day you're supposed to iron them. You get the old hot iron out there and razzle to them. Sure, they take a scorching, but it puts the pinks back where they belong. See? Love, brother, sister, can be as hypocritical as anything I ever saw in my life. Because the Bible says so. Let's go to Peter. The mouth of the witness, 1 Peter. Let's see, we want the first chapter and 22nd verse. Alright? Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. You say, well, can I make it look good and still be... That's right. You can make it look good to the brethren. See? Oh, a preacher comes along and says, well, now, you don't understand your pastor. He doesn't understand you. And he gets between the people and the pastor. And some folk, maybe right here in Macon, love it. You might get visiting preachers or visiting friends. And they say, well, Brother Palmer's a nice man, but... And you gobble it up. Ha, ha, ha. You got sucked in by the devil. Pardon my sardonic laugh, but Brother Branham said the pastor that God gave you would lead you through, and he's the supreme authority in the church. Right. And if I teach one thing contrary to what your pastor says, you listen to him. I wasn't ordained to carry you through, he was. Now I'm going to tell you something. Us visiting preachers wouldn't have any place to visit except for those lovely God-ordained pastors. And I've seen the suffering of the pastors around the country, and I admire and love them, and they're my best friends. And as much as I love you as congregations, you'll never find me between you and the pastor. You stick with your pastor, and if you don't, shame on you. And if you're from other churches here this morning, take it back to your congregation. Okay? Feigned love. Put on. One fella I know, he's so sweet, butter wouldn't melt in his mouth. Well, I'm glad he's walking in his shoes. I don't want to walk in those shoes. How sweet was Jesus on the day he cleaned the temple? How sweet was he the day he told those high priests off? Listen to me. They never killed him because of what he did, it's because of what he said. And he wasn't any hypocrite. Now look, I'm not for preachers jumping on the congregation, beating with the club. Because if you do, what you'll do, you'll uproot the tares with the wheat. When a man suffers, though, for the cause of Jesus Christ, and then corrects the congregation, you respect that man, because that's love. Now, the fruit of the Spirit, certainly we believe in fruit. Certainly we believe in love. But this is not the evidence. See? All right, what about the supernatural manifestation? Time's gone on, so I don't want to take long with it. You know about it anyway. Let's just go to Hebrews, the 6th chapter. Listen to it. It's impossible for those who are once enlightened, not once enlightened, once for all enlightened. There isn't any more. A once for all. You say, I believe we had that 2,000 years ago. You're wrong. You didn't.
can only take place at the end time. I prove it here. Because it says here, which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, nigh to cursing, whose end is to be burned. And you don't get burned to the last age. So the once for all. I've illustrated it many times. I said, little the mother says to Johnny, Johnny, I'm telling you once for all, don't slam that screen door again. She's only told him 18 times now. So Johnny goes wham, and she goes wham. It was once for all. No more times. This one more time, like Brother Branham preached, one more time, Lord. See, now listen. Once for all enlightened, no more coming, have tasted the heavenly gift, partook of the Holy Ghost, tasted the good word of God, tasted the powers of the world to come. That's got they grunt right in there with both feet. Not if they fall away, having fallen away. It's impossible to renew them again to repentance. You'll never change your mind again. You can see today where we are, brother, sister. You say, look, some people believe that Brother Branham so-and-so. They'll never change your mind. Minds are made up. You know what I believe this morning, brother, sister? I believe our minds are made up right now which way we're going. And there's no turning back. I believe we're on a treadmill. There's only one person left to deal with outside of trying to bring in sinners, and that's yourself with this word. We're not going anywhere, brother, sister. We're stuck right here because this is the end of it. There'll be no eighth church age. We're closing the doors. Now you can never change your mind. Seeing they crucify to themselves. They can't crucify the Son of Man again, Son of God. To themselves they do. You know what that means? Once they turn down the last enlightenment, they laugh at Christ the Word and kill it out of their lives. It's gone. No wonder he's outside the seventh church age trying to get back in. Listen, for the earth which drinketh in the rain, what's rain in the Bible? The Word. Which cometh oft upon it. How often is often? Seven times. God can send the Word only seven times. And bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it's dressed. Are we the herbs of God, ready to meet Him? We'll receive the blessing of God if we are. But it could bear thorns and briars, which would be rejected. Now listen, beloved, verse 9, we're persuaded better things of you. You say, Brother Bill, what better thing than being enlightened? Taste the heavenly gift. Taste the Holy Ghost. Taste the good word of God. Taste the powers of the world to come. Sure, there's something better to be a part of it. Don't just taste it. Don't be in there with both hands and feet. Become one with it through the Word of God. See? The Word of God. Now, Brother Branham, no wonder he's outside the seventh church age trying to get back in. Listen, for the earth which drinketh in the rain, what's rain in the Bible? The Word. Which cometh oft upon it. How often is often? Seven times. God can send the Word only seven times. And bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it's dressed. Are we the herbs of God, ready to meet Him? We'll receive the blessing of God if we are. But it could bear thorns and briars, which will be rejected. Now listen, beloved, verse 9, we're persuaded better things of you. You say, Brother Bill, what better thing than being enlightened? Taste the heavenly gift. Taste the Holy Ghost. Taste the good word of God. Taste the powers of the world to come. Sure, there's something better to be a part of it. Don't just taste it. Don't be in there with both hands and feet. Become one with it through the Word of God. See? The Word of God. Now, Brother Branham told us from Matthew 24:24, in the last day there'll be mighty signs and wonders.
the two spirits so close, all the elect would be deceived. Now, brother, sister, if you can taste the good word of God, the power of the world to come and be anointed by the Holy Ghost and still be lost, then there can be no evidence that supernatural gifts are the evidence of the Holy Ghost baptism. It's another case of Judas and Balaam. Judas betrayed Christ, and Balaam died fighting the children of God. Now, where is your evidence? You say, could I talk in tongues and prophesy and be a Judas? There's not a better case for it than that. You say, because I turned down the word? That's right. Because I don't recognize Brother Branham? That's right. I'll say it again. I said it the other night. Many people call Brother Branham Jesus Christ, but they saw something. They saw something. What about those that didn't see anything? Well, what about it? It'll be more tolerable, I believe, in the day of judgment for them than those that, ha, ain't nothing to it. I would sooner give somebody too much credit than too little, although to be in the Holy Ghost, I must give them exactly right, or then I am wrong. You say, what do you believe he is, Brother Bale? Do you want to know who Brother Branham was? Read the Anointed One to the End Time, what he said he was. He was the voice standing by that God used. I was not that one, said he. I was the one standing by. Now, do you think he knew what he said? Let's consider soul winning. All right, let's consider soul winning. Here's the scripture. Look it up for yourself. Galatians 4:22-31, 1 Peter 1:22-25, Revelation 17:3-6, 2 Corinthians 11:2-3, 2 Peter 2:17-22. I'm only going to deal with one. Galatians, the 4th chapter, 22-31, as I did the other night. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you, now to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me you the desire to be under the law. Do you hear the law? It's written that Abraham had two sons, one by a bondman, one by a free woman. He of the bondman was born after the flesh. He of the free woman was by a promise. Now, they're both born. Were they? Both born. One by what? Flesh. Human reasoning. Abraham were too old. I can't have a son. You're still able. Take the young girl. Well, he said, I don't know if that's the right thing to do. She said, it's the right thing to do. It's all right. So he went ahead. One was born. Now the other's born. Now the older one begins to just really slam the younger. Who slams us? Pentecostals. Baptists don't even know we're alive. Why should they? Dead things don't recognize anything. The one that's fighting for his life is the one that fights. Dead don't have to fight any longer. Now listen, which things are an allegory? An allegory is not the real thing. It's a picture. It's a study in words. To bring a lesson. To bring a doctrine. Going to tell you something spiritual. Now, two covenants. Sinai, which is Hagar in bondage, and the other is Christ in New Jerusalem. Two covenants. Now listen, this about Sinai and Hagar is a picture of reality. Two systems. Both have children. Both know God. Both worship God. God deals with both. He makes two covenants. One is a word covenant, a promise. The other is a physical promise. Now listen to me. What did I say the Holy Ghost was? No physical evidence. And why do you want physical evidence? Which covenant do you want? Do you want Ishmael's covenant? Physical evidence? I'll make you 12 princes.
I'll make you great people, but you'll fight this reality. You'll fight the word of promise. Now, has it happened? It has happened. Because it's an allegory. Romans fought the Lutherans, Lutherans the Wesleyans, Wesleyans the Pentecostals, and the Pentecostal Brother Branham. You know a greater church than the Roman church? Oh, she's rich. Wowee, is she rich. About $154 billion in gold. You wait till they begin valuing that upwards. She owns the whole thing. What about the Lutheran church? Are they rich? Oh, you better believe they're rich. What about the Methodists? Are they rich? You better believe they're rich. What about Pentecostal? Man, they getting there. They're the nouveau riche. The newest ones. What about us? Ain't got for nothing. Storefronts, old buildings. We're going fine on that. As long as the gasoline's there, who cares whether it's a clunker or not? See? That all the elder always fights the younger because it's of the flesh. You see why? Because it's getting old. Abraham, you're getting old, dear. We better go to the flesh for our children. Well, Mama dear, I think you're right. You're really too old for me, and I'm a very virile young man. We ought to really throw our weight around and have a bunch of kids, but I can't have them by you, so I'll have them into you. So they have programs, creeds, and dogmas. And they're deader than doornails. And they raise up Sunday schools. And they teach the kids from the street by ice cream and candy and everything else, and puzzles and contests, and bring them in. Now that's why Sunday schools aren't in the Word of God. Because just make them a two-fold child of hell worse than yourself. In majority cases. Not everyone, but majority cases. See? That old spirit to raise up children by a harlot system. And believe me, the desolate has millions more than she that's got the husband. The bride is outnumbered hundreds to one, brother, sister. And at the end time, perhaps thousands and thousands and maybe millions to one, just before Jesus comes to take his throne on this earth. See? I mean before the rapture. And now there's your soul winning. They're winning soul. Why? Because men have committed their souls. I belong to Methodist. I belong to Baptist. Where is your soul committed? I belong there and I belong here. I believe this, I believe that. See? Peter said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but by the word of God, incorruptible, which abides forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Unless you're born of that word, you're going to pass away. See? Now, where's your soul winning gone now? Look at it. One more verse. Revelation 17. So we can close here. 3-6. I saw a woman stand upon a scarlet colored beast full of names. Name. Oh boy. Over the front door. And look what I own. And they're saying it right now. We own you. Baptist. Presbyterian. Methodist. Church of God. Church of Christ. Pentecost. We own y'all. You came out of us. You got our blood. You bet. That they got the blood. The blood of the martyrs are going to answer for them. Scarlet colored beast. A whorish system of power. What's the power of a whore? To spread her feet and give pleasure in the flesh. It's all right to do what you want. Just come to church and confess on Sunday. Talk to the Holy Father. He's got understanding. Yeah. Oh, Mother Harlot. All mothers are sweet, especially Mother Harlot. Because you want to get daughter, you know, I bet. Daughters, I missed you. Said, look, honey, why don't you come back to my lovers? Well, Mother dear, we have lovers of our own. Well, then, honey, let's get a corner on lovers. And she does, too. I'm talking now the physical applied to spiritual. She's going to own the whole thing. Communists and all. Sure, there's revival going on right now behind the Iron Curtain. but it's not of God. It's religious revival, not the Spirit of Jesus Christ. It can't be, because they don't know a thing about the truth. See? Now, she's got all this power, 7 heads and 10 horns. And the control is old Jezebel, purple and scarlet, gold and precious stones and pearls. And she got it through fornication. False love. Nice talk. Pretty system. Her forehead was the name Mystery Babylon, mother of harlots, abomination of the earth. People think the communists are the abomination. They're ridiculous. It's Roman Catholics, the abomination. It's the system. It's Rome that's the abomination. That's where your problem lies. Now listen. These are full of souls. They have won souls. They are soul winners. Where is your soul this morning, brother, sister? Is it committed to God by the word? Remember, there's a messenger in every age, and he that heareth me is of God, said John. He that heareth me, said Paul, is of God. He that heareth me, said Peter, is of God. What voice are you listening to this morning to identify yourself whether you be of God? Well, Brother Vail, I know I can read. I've had experiences. Hogwash. The sow can get washed, and they pare her toenails, and they make her little hooks look so pinky and so pretty. And they tie a ribbon on her hair. In her neck, rather. That was the thing of the poodle that time. They tie a ribbon on the sow's neck. They put a sweet little bell there. And they put first prize ribbon. She goes, oink, oink, oink. See, you're the prettiest sow in America. Oink, oink. She grins. You ever seen a drunk hog? I have. My mother used to make a little choke cherry wine. She never let us drink any. She saved it for emergencies. She never had an emergency. It always got thrown out or given away. But she made this wine in case something did happen. It's a good thing nothing happened, I guess. So we threw out the mash one day, and here the hogs I didn't know would get tight. And when I went back, they were slouched in the mud, and they were grinning. And so I could have said, are you happy? Oink. Do you love it? Oh, do we? Oink. And so the sow, washed from her wallow, goes right back to it. Sure. Now, brother, she was washed, it meant she cleaned up. If she was washed, it means she wasn't acting like a hog for a while. See? Now you can dress up. You can clean up. And because, you see, you can have a mental conversion. The word repent means to change your mind. Now here I'm a doctor, and the alcoholic comes in, and I say, man, I take your blood pressure, it's shot. I said, the urine specimen shows you're finished. I said, bud, your liver's tough, it's hard. Well, doc, what am I going to do? I'm a young man. Do you really want to know? No more booze. No more coffee. No more tea. No more chocolate. No soft drinks. Pastry? Forget it. High protein diet? Early to bed, early to rise? Exercise? No dance halls, no pool halls, no billiard? You got to come under control. No more losing your temper. Or you'll pop your vessel. Buddy, you're going to be a new man. If you want to live. Doc, I'll do it, I'll do it, I'll do it. He does it. Is he born again? No, he just repented. He doesn't swear anymore. Doesn't smoke anymore. He doesn't booze anymore. He doesn't clown around town anymore. He's a model. But he's not saved. But he sure looks it. That's right. He repented. Most people don't go beyond repentance. They go down dry repenters, not wet repenters. But they never get the Holy Ghost. And then they never go to the Word. Now, brother, sister,
This is a crux to the whole thing. The evidence of baptism with the Holy Ghost. Hear what the prophet said. Nothing outside of the message will come to life. That's a stinger, as Brother Branham would say. Do you hear it? John said, if you don't hear me, you're not a God. William Branham said, nothing outside the message will come to life. Now, do you believe that? And you're going to be hated for it. Because they're going to say, who do you think you are anyway? Don't tell me I don't know God. We had a lady claims to believe this message. She thinks she got thus saith the Lord. She called the pastor and said, you think I got it? He said, dear, I wouldn't know. Why don't you bring your gift before the church and let the men judge it? She said, you think I don't know the voice of God when I hear it? A woman. You women, are you that way this morning? You know, you type the church. Do you know the men don't have that spirit arm like women do? I'm appalled. I am appalled at women who say they believe this message and have carried that old Pentecostal racketeering spirit right along with them. Spoken word, original seed. Listen, you can only serve God as you do and believe the servants that God sends. You can only serve God on earth, see, as God's servants are sent on earth by divine inspiration interpret the word to you. Now, we've been constantly saying that the true evidence to be being baptized with the Holy Ghost is for the believer to receive the word of God for the age in which he lives. Church ages. Question and answers. There's only one evidence of the Holy Spirit I know of, and that's a genuine faith, faith in the promised word of the hour. Feast of Trumpets. Jesus, the Son of God, revealing himself by the Scripture, making the Scripture that had been predestinated to this day, like it was to that day, Christ's day, and all other days, Paul, Rhenius, Thomas, live. And to believe it is the evidence of the Holy Ghost. That's the evidence of the Holy Ghost. When God reveals to you and you see it, thus saith the Lord, and accept it. That's where you start. The only satisfaction you've got of even beginning to know you've got the Holy Ghost this morning is, do you stand with thus saith the Lord as your ultimate? Never mind the way you argued about it. Never mind how anybody interprets it. Are your eyes opened, at least by the Holy Spirit, to bring you to the Word, whether you are in the Word or not? Now, some folk haven't even come to it. Now, remember I said the Hebrew and Greek. I can prove it next time I come. If I bring my word studies, I'll show you. The Holy Spirit outside of you brings you to the Word. When He's inside of you, He reveals the Word. Have you come this morning, at least as far as thus saith the Lord? It's what God has done for you now. That's the evidence. Do you recognize it? Some men made too much of it. Others never saw it. I knew a Pentecostal preacher in 1953 in West Palm Beach. He said, don't talk to me about William Branham. And don't you go hear him. Or I'll have to speak out. The man has a familiar spirit, is what he has. Brother Branham said, the Holy Spirit never comes back saying that Jesus was Beelzebub. Neither does the Holy Spirit say William Branham was anything but that one that was sent from God. Say, Brother Bell, how do I receive the Holy Ghost? You want to know? It's without evidence. It's very simple. If you've repented and said, I'm going to lay down every creed and dogma. I'm going to listen, remember, the church is judged because of fornication. You're not going to be judged because you lied or committed adultery or stole or murdered. Today is, where do you stand in your belief? Are you committing fornication with the church systems and their creeds and dogmas? Will you come out of her this morning by repenting, by changing your mind, and saying, God is my judge. I'll believe everything the man told me. I'll believe what that prophet said. Understand it, perhaps not. But believe it, yes. And whatsoever is contrary to what I say, let him be true. He's vindicated. Let me realize my position. I'm a listener. I'm a learner. That's what a disciple is, a learner. The next thing is, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in water. The third thing is, come in faith and have the men of God lay hands upon you and receive the Holy Ghost by faith. And from that day, make that your tie post. And don't turn back, but believe. And you'll grow right into it. And nothing will ever shake you again. Here's where we stand this morning, brother, sister. So many people so confused on evidence, they don't know if they have the Holy Spirit or not. They've talked in tongues and denied the very word of God that the prophet taught. So where do I stand today? You stand where I told you. Make up your mind. Change it once for all. Say, this is it. No more thinking any thoughts but His thoughts. No more words but His words. Because they're vindicated, mine aren't. With that attitude, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask God to wipe away all of your sins. He'll do it. To cleanse you perfectly. So you're rid of every encumbrance. Free as the day you were born in this world. And have hands laid on you. And make that your tie post. Because remember, you can't fill yourself with the Holy Ghost. God can. There are two things He said to do. Repent, be baptized, and He does the rest. When you have those hands laid on you, you go on in faith. That's exactly what Brother Branham did and nothing else. And that's what he said. Don't look back. By faith I've received Him. Say, Brother Bale, I don't feel like it. By faith I received Him. I don't see any changes. By faith I received Him. My mind's not clear. By faith I received Him. Everything looks cloudy. By faith I received Him. Things are a mess. By faith I received Him. I don't care. Why? Because His life, your life, is in His hands. And He careth for you. Commit your soul this morning, my brother, sister, unto the faithful one who is Christ Jesus. The chief shepherd, the Lord of glory, He'll see you through. I'm persuaded for a long time now that what I've committed unto Him, He's able to take care of. We're in the hands of God today, brother, sister. What a wonderful place to be. Tomorrow that hand will be lifted. And thank God we'll be in the hand to be lifted with it. You won't need to worry about the pestilence and the famine. It isn't going to come nigh you. No, it's going to bypass. Because the Lamb is the husband of the bride. Shall we rise at this time? Bow our heads in prayer.
Gracious Father, we've enjoyed being with your people this morning to talk about the Word, to say what the prophet said, of course in our own way because his vocabulary is different from ours. But knowing we said the same thing, took it line by line, verse by verse, and there it was. Just what he said. Lord, I know that it's right because he said it and he was vindicated. And if he was right, then I'm right. And if the people listen, they're right. What a joyful thing we have this morning, resting upon reality. Our heads are bowed, we're praying. I can't let this opportunity go, because that's what we're here for, to correct the situation. There may be those who are not full of the Holy Ghost, but you've been baptized correctly. You've never come to your tie post, where hands have been laid upon you. But this morning you're willing to say, Brother Vail, I'm going to come forward because I have repented. I believe that message. I've been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want a tie post this morning. I want hand laid on me. I'll believe I've received the Holy Ghost. And I'll put my faith in that like the prophet said. And I don't care what happens. I'll sneer at the devil. I'll call him a liar. I've received the Holy Ghost. And God will prove it. Because I'm going that rapture. Now that's your stand this morning. Who has not received the Holy Ghost? But you've been baptized in water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is your morning to have hands laid upon you. Make this your tie post. Make this your day. Tomorrow may never come. I can't give you the Holy Ghost. No. I wouldn't even try. But there's a God who said he wouldn't. He's not a liar. Anybody this morning say, Brother Vail, I want to receive the Holy Spirit, just like the prophet said. Wherever you are, come forward now. That's right. This is your tie post. Isn't it beautiful? So simple. God never said do a hard thing. He said do that easy thing. I've done the hard thing. Let hands be laid upon them. They shall receive the Holy Ghost. This is that day of the new year. The first day that commemorates the resurrection, which commemorates he's coming back as the Holy Ghost. Don't doubt in your heart, brother, sister. The prophet said it. He said, make that your tie post and don't look back. Your morning of consecration, dedication. I'll believe it. See, I know what the prophet did. I know how he did it. He did just what we're doing this morning. He didn't say speak in tongues. He didn't say watch this and watch that. He said, Brother Vail, I laid my hands on that man. And he received the Holy Ghost. He didn't say, I hoped he did. He said he did. He said, you preachers do the same thing.